SBS Audio is supported by advertising.
Noor Haider here, one of the hosts of The Guardian's daily news podcast, Full Story. Every weekday, we go beyond the headlines, taking you closer to The Guardian's journalism. Listen to Full Story wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Everyone, welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Tuesday, the 28th of April 2026, a day where the Australian share market fell, the S&P ASX 200 down 0.6% to 8,710. That is another three-week low, and it means the index is now down for six sessions in a row. That's in contrast with the US, where the S&P 500 and tech-based NASDAQ hit a record high overnight. Here, 10 of the 11 sectors finished in the red. Utilities the worst, Origin Energy down 3.9%, although lithium miners rallied, and the oil price also rose to around $110 a barrel, supporting energy stocks today. For more, I spoke with MPC Markets CEO Mark Gardner. Mark, the ASX is at a three-week low, yet shares in the US are at or near record levels. What's happening here, and why the divergence?
Well, the divergence is mainly in tech, really. Philadelphia Semiconductors Index, or the SOX, which is fairly, you know, not widely quoted, but has been really holding up the market in the US. It recently had 18 consecutive positive sessions, which is a record run for that particular index. And you've had the likes of, obviously, Intel bounce back, Texas Instruments, et cetera, all on this data center build-out that the hyperscalers are obviously ploughing a lot of money into. So we don't have a lot of that here in Australia. We're mainly, obviously, banking, mining, energy, et cetera. And a very small tech sector. So, in terms of how our index is going, you know, the inflation shock, which will, you know, not only, hold up any sort of rate cuts, but, also probably dent global growth, is not good for those, cyclical names, in the banking sector and in the, and in the resources sector. So, and gold obviously coming off an absolute heater at the start of the year. That's affected the mining sector as well, but I'd expect the, now, the likes of the critical minerals sectors to be and things like that, which will be involved in the demand for the data centers, to probably, you know, start to get a little bit of an uplift or a further uplift as time goes on.
What about in terms of the information that US analysts are trying to trade on? And when I say information, what about the information they're getting from their president? How's that influencing trade?
Yeah, well, look, if, you know, whatever you think about President Trump, he's a master of the media and controlling that media. And there is this constant drip feed reassuring in US investors and the US public that, you know, that they've got enough energy, that they're a net energy exporter, you know, that it doesn't really affect them. It affects China more, et cetera. And the truth, you know, he doesn't necessarily let the truth get in the way of a good story. So, and, you know, and I think that's lulled the US markets into a bit of a false sense of security at this point in time. But, you know, when the president speaks, he becomes that single source, and a lot of the news agencies and media agencies and outlets run with it. And, you know, they're very timely around, you know, particularly in oil prices, et cetera, they're towards market closes and opens, you know, where there's been, where it massively affects the prices, et cetera. But the bottom line is the Strait of Hormuz is not open. It's not seeing anywhere near, you know, the traffic that it was. It's less than 10%. The conflict still goes on, and we got WTI, or oil prices, which is West Texas, which, you know, is US, still at $97 and probably at a week or two or so high at the moment. So I think it's cost the US consumer north. Well, by the time this thing would even go back to normal at its earliest stage, it's going to cost the US consumer, upwards of $30 to $40 billion.
The other key thing we've got this week is, you touched on it, US tech sector earnings, and you've also got a number of global central banks reporting. Are any more important than the other?
I think the RBA, obviously, here domestically, FOMC will be, you know, will be very much watched, but we've got that play going with, you know, Kevin Warsh coming in and Fed Chair Powell going out. And there could be, I mean, there could be a few, sort of, snide comments from the Fed chair, because, he's been cleared from his probe now to clear the way for Walsh coming in. So that'll be pretty heavily watched, but not for the right not for the monetary policy reasons necessarily. It's almost like financial markets version of gossip. But I think overall we'll probably be more focused on the earnings from, we've got five of the Mag 7 or the Magnificent 7 reporting this week, 16 trillion in market cap. And I think there's, I think roughly the S&P 500 is worth 60 trillion. There's 30 trillion in market cap reporting earnings this week. So hugely important. And I think it's a very much a make or break for the US equity market because there's been disappointment on monetizing AI. There's been disappointment on, from investors in terms of these huge numbers they're mentioning in terms of CapEx spend to get these data center build outs happening. And there's been enormous voter backlash around the data centers as well, because we've seen, some states have seen doubling of their electricity bills in the last 4 or 5 years, and it's putting huge pressure and making it a massive election issue for the midterms. Huge pressure on budgets outside of, at the Bowser as well. So, data centers are very much being demonized in the States. And I dare say in line with Meta, who announced a swathe of job cuts, there will be a likely, announcement of some job cuts due to AI for a lot of these companies as well.
Inflation data out tomorrow here in Australia. To what extent do you think it will reflect what's happening in the Middle East and the fallout? And what does it mean for interest rates here, the RBA meeting next week?
Yeah, look, I think it's going to be an ugly figure. We're looking at numbers around the 5% mark or the high fours. The RBA will be laser focused on the trim mean. Anything above 3.5% is probably going to see see them hike rates again. They haven't, most of the central banks around the world have generally seen, are trying to stand pat until they can see if it's transient or not, the inflation or the inflation shock that comes through from higher oil prices. The RBA has not been, they've been relatively hawkish. So, and we had the likes of Westpac come out and say they're increasing their provisions for bad loans, et cetera, because people's disposable incomes affected by the spike in fuel prices in Australia. So I would expect that, most of the banks here in Australia will be praying for a lower number. But I dare say that we'll get a read through, a pretty severe read through of the numbers. We've seen fuel prices drop off a little bit in the last couple of weeks, but this is going to encapsulate all of the worst numbers, over the course of the last 6 weeks. So there'll be some headlines tomorrow for sure.
And in wrapping up, a double-barreled question, right? As I usually say, what are you telling your clients right now? Where do you see the opportunities for investors? But going back to that first part of the interview where we were discussing the US market being at near record highs, despite the Strait of Hormuz being closed, all this uncertainty, the potential for a tipping point with US tech earnings, the fact that US investors seem to be optimistic, are they too optimistic? Has the US market, for example, shot too far?
Optimistic's a nice word for it. I'd say more on the lines of delusional, to be honest. You've got some of the biggest companies in the world that are reporting this week that are trading at slightly lower forward earnings, expectations, but overall, the effect of oil being up here near $100 and Brent being above $100 is going to affect growth at some stage. So, While you can put your head in the sand, for a period of time, the bottom line is that I think you're going to see the inflation numbers and the growth numbers be dented, in the coming months and in the US. And I think that, the data center build out, it cannot, despite it being 30% of the GDP growth in the US, we've seen a lot of projects cancelled, anywhere up to 50% due to shortages in certain parts, et cetera, and the inability to get power. So overall, I think this, it is strange we're back at record highs. We've got seven out of the major, seven major indicators that are flashing overvalued for US. Overall in this midterm election year, we normally, for the last 86 years, every 4 years, we've seen a decline of 10% minimum between this May and October period. So, I'm telling our clients essentially to, get cashed up and then be a little bit patient and look to buy the dip, because overall, once that election's gotten through, positivity returns to the US market and we generally do have a positive year.
That's Mark Gardner there from MPC Markets. Sandy wraps up the podcast for this Tuesday. Give it a like, a review and subscribe if you enjoy it. And don't forget, you can watch On The Money during the 6:30 weekday edition of SBS World News on SBS. The podcast returns tomorrow. It drops after the market close every weekday and I'll catch you then.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only and should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and it does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decisions. This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
Starting a new life in Australia isn't easy.
A lot of companies have rejected me.
Sometimes I feel like, oh, I'm gonna quit, I've give up.
Work in Progress is a podcast to help skilled migrants rebuild their careers in a new country. You'll hear inspiring real-life stories, expert advice, and valuable tips to help you find a job and advance your career. Work in Progress. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.